It's a minute or two early, but let me call the meeting to order. You have an agenda. There are a couple of items to be added to the agenda. The first is 3.1, which is a legacy from the hosting National Culling Championship Committee, and it'll be led by Donna Hatt. The other addition I have is 17.5 in camera. There is a personnel matter which can be discussed in camera under Section 22.2C of the Municipal Government Act. Are there any other additions, deletions from the agenda? If not, I'd entertain a motion to approve as amended. Councilor Waterman, Councilor Prelett, secondly. All in favor? It's unanimous, thank you. Now I'd like to call then on Donna Hatt and her committee to come forward. It seems almost yesterday when you Greg, Donna were here to...
2 years this week.
Exactly.
I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Your Honor and members of council for having us here today. We're here to make a presentation of a check to the Liverpool Curling Club for their final amount, and it's a pleasure to be here.
Great. So we're in addition to your agenda. We've been working for the last 2 years to be able to move through our process. Over the weekend, Saturday around noon, we got confirmation that we've gone through all of our other requirements with Revenue Canada, et cetera, and that we would be in a position to present the final legacy and present it on behalf of the community to the Liverpool Curling Club. So that's why we're a last-minute addition, and so pleased to be able to have made it happen over the weekend so quickly. Part of the objective with the 2014s was to be able to monitor the economic impact of hosting major events in our community. It was only possible because we opened Queen's Place AmeriCentre. So because of that facility, in conjunction with having a very strong Liverpool Curling Club, which then made the request on and upward to the Liverpool or to the Nova Scotia Curling Association and then to the Nationals, were we able to actually secure to be able to host this event. The hosting team itself was only five of us strong. You're only seeing six of us strong. You're only seeing three of us presently here today. Our other team members are unable to be with us. Part of the lead up in hosting the event was about measuring that economic impact. We worked with the Events Nova Scotia to undertake the STEAM model, which was a sport tourism economic assessment of the facility of the event itself. During that process, we had the Nova Scotia Community College team assist us, so we had students actually deployed throughout Queen's Place and the Curling Club to conduct surveys, which were sanctioned by the national body, which is a standardized process that they use across the nation to assess the overall economic impact. While we can't allude only to the financial side of this event, because certainly the cultural, social, and pride in place elements that came forward throughout hosting the Nationals far exceeded all of our expectations. However, there were some pretty significant financial contributions that we're pretty proud of that happened within not only our community, but with the province. And that's what we wanted to reveal and share with you today as part of our celebration. The economic impact overall for our community and the province of Nova Scotia was $1.2 million. Our original goal 2 years prior to hosting the event, which kicked off this week 2 years ago, was estimated to be just over $3 million. And that was based on a whole slew of numbers going into the input model that something would come out the other end. This is more realistic. We do believe it was probably higher, but we're happy to sit with the $1.2 million in economic impact. Of particular note, because events do mean business for our community, what I wanted to point out to you here on our left-hand side is that the visitor spending, nearly $300,000 was spent by visitors coming into our community. On average, the party size was about three, almost four people per party, and that was greatly influenced by the number of families that actually arrived in support of the 140 athletes that came from across the country to Liverpool in January of 2014. their average spend was $795. That's an average. There was a low for those who were just general spectators who were coming in for the event, and then there was a high from those who were the families who actually spent on average 8 nights in our community. You'll see where the economic impact kind of flowed out from there. That pie chart to the left illustrates that the majority of the funds generated or spent while they were here was on fixed roof accommodation, so where they slept. The balance of it did feed into all other sectors within our community. Certainly recreation and other entertainment, we had a very solid and robust social component that they participated in. Shopping, everyone shopped. I think everyone probably still recalls the Freddy's Dance of Delight at the amount of shoes and boots, thanks to the reoccurring Wednesday snowstorms, and everyone shopped at Fred's store while they were in town. We also, one of the neat aspects of it was we had thought, and certainly we had community members here amongst council, that wanted to host the Lobster Fest dance component to the event, which was scheduled at the back end. Unfortunately, we had to cancel that because everybody had bought out all of the lobster that was available to be eaten, served from Sobeys and Superstore, that they were lobstered out by day 8 and didn't require that event anymore. You'll also see that event clothing was a big one, the whole M&M meat shops. There was a whole store that we had set up in the lobby of Queen's Place that generated significant amounts of revenue for us, but also in sales for the national body. Vehicles, because this was a national event, every family that arrived rented a car. In addition to that, our spectators that were coming from across the province, they had put gas in their vehicles to continue to move forward. So it was a very wide swept impact that happened in a month of January that wouldn't typically take place. And that's what I'm illustrating here in our slide to piece to the right. We compiled what's called the fixed roof occupancy reports. So it's room nights sold here on the South Shore. Events like this generate incremental visitation to our community, incremental media coverage that exceeds all expectations. For example, TSN broadcasting live to the nation and everyone else. But in particular here, you'll see that this January, which is the month furthest over, the 2013 versus 14 and into 15 corresponding years indicate that big spike to what is 8,504 room nights being sold in our area in January that is completely attributed to the juniors. And every time the province uses that information, every time we as a region use this information and we see the blip, we go, aha! We know exactly what that was because there was nothing else major happening on the South Shore. And while that may have realized a few rooms in the Bridgewater area when we sold out, the majority of those were spent right here in our community for an extended period of time. So while it's a $1.2 million economic impact to the overall economy of the province, you'll see that over $700,000 was realized right here in our own backyard. So pretty significant from all aspects. In wages, locally about $217,000 was attributed to being the spend here in our local community. You'll see the tax breakdown. I thought it was kind of interesting to see by comparison taxes collected. Again, we didn't do the math on this. This is a part of the STEAM, the national program. So federally the taxes, provincially and municipally for a total of taxes collected, almost $300,000. What I've put in the slide in that same table to the right is what the investment was from each of those parties. About $28,000 to $29,000 from the feds, $75,000 coming from the province in the investment as part of the attraction and hosting of this event, and $20,000 from the municipality here. So pretty good return on investment from that perspective, and again, that's just in taxation components, not looking at the overall impact of everything else. Visitor origin, again, one of the most important and critical pieces to growing the economy, and we've all heard it in the One Nova Scotia report, which is to attract first-time visitors to Nova Scotia who will become repeat. In this particular case, with this event, it was a national. Greg kept pounding it into us. We're going after the juniors because they will bring their families, and it's a national, and it'll be first-time visits. And we will demonstrate on the world stage what we're capable of rolling out here in Liverpool. And again, that's what happened. Non-Nova Scotia residents, 45%. So 45% of the folks that came to the event were non-residents. So over half. 28% being local. That was us and our community who are participating in the event, our volunteers, etc. Other Nova Scotia, 12%. 87% stayed in hotels. So again, the conversion was there, and as we all know, if you can get someone to sleep in your backyard, they will eat in your backyard, they will refuel, they will continue to spend and shop, and quite likely head off bringing forward many more great memories as they come forward. From a community perspective, we had an army of more than 300 volunteers. For the first time ever, we set a number of new benchmarks for community event hosting. We charged volunteers. When Greg said, all right, we're going to arm them with this and this and this and give them this and this and this and we're going to feed them and we're going to charge because we need to fuel it in to the operations, everybody went, oh my God. But once we got through that process, the return on investment was very solid for the volunteers, and it certainly gave us an opportunity to incorporate a whole host of other initiatives. Because we broke down the operation of this, when we took our budget originally, we snapped everything apart and said, what do we need to make this happen? And then piece by piece, we found sponsors, collaborators, innovative ways to feed the system and turn it back out so that we could make as much money as possible so that we could make it a much larger success. From staging this, when we converted, actually this week right now, we would have already been putting on the final pebbling, wouldn't we, Greg? It was the final pebbling on Queen's Place AmeriCenter. This is the closing ceremonies, which blew everyone out of the water, a spectacular shot that also became our thank you card and a calling card for future events for our community. We staged for the first time ever in Nova Scotia, and it's hailed as an example. Because it was a national event, we were hindered in the kinds of sponsors that we could attract to the event. Because of a national sponsorship, you were required in these kinds of publications and along the rink boards only to recognize their sponsors as national. But we wanted to create the opportunity for local exposure and engagement. So we created our championship festival. And as a result of the festival and dozens of events that took place and impact that was felt, our brochure presented a map, not only just the festival components, but also a map to show everyone how to get around town. So this is now hailed by Events Nova Scotia and communities all across the province as to how you can do it and do it right. So again, incredible assets that were created along the way. And then we take this step a little bit further to go into the legacy. We went in from the start wanting to make sure that we left a legacy. It was always, we started with landing the championship, but it was always about what else can we do with it to create impact. So some of the legacy impacts, because of the event, in the case of our community, we were able to acquire bleachers, which now I believe are sitting on the edge of a ball field here in town. We acquired a portable PA system, which now is available to the community. That was a partnership that we had undertaken in conjunction with ACOA to be able to leverage that. ACOA became our partner, as well as we worked with the Liverpool Curling Club, as well as the municipality. If everyone recalls, go back a couple of years, 2012. 2011, we had a fire at White Point, one of the anchor properties for the event. We pledged to rebuild it. Don't worry, by 2014, we will be up and functional, no worries. And then on the eve of that, the Liverpool Curling Club's chiller broke. Can't have a national championship without a chiller because you need the ice at the club. So the municipality was very significant and critical in enabling that piece of equipment to be secured so that the curling club would be forthcoming and open. We had washroom enhancements and other facility enhancements made possible at the Liverpool Curling Club as a direct result of our COA grant submissions. So again, growing that capacity, enhancing the infrastructure of the curling club. The curling club had a terrific food sales drive, which enabled them, at the time, there were some challenges with mounting power bills. The food sales, it was marvelous to see Bertha say, I'm going down to pay the power bill. And off she went with the proceeds from the kitchen to make that a reality. And of course, there was the rental that the curling, that we as the host committee rented that facility and were able to continually put that back in. Queen's Place AmeriCenter, we rented that facility. We paid for the security and a number of other components there. But we truly demonstrated what a collaborative partnership could do. And I don't think anybody who was present could look on that event during the juniors and didn't see a crook or crevice that wasn't used for some aspect, whether it was the arts festival that took place in the lobby, whether it was our pop-up store, or the food components. It was everywhere, to the volunteer lounges that we cordoned off with some curtains so that everyone could enjoy some of the Tim Hortons sponsorship. So that was solid throughout. At the bottom, you'll see the sponsorship partners. This event enabled us to take sponsorship within our community to a whole new level. One of the ones that I was particularly proud of was the Halifax International Airport. Because of our collaboration as a not-for-profit, for at least, I guess it was the entire month of December and into January, we did an airport takeover where this visual, Hurry Hard to Liverpool at the time, was plastered all over the Halifax International Airport. And all billboards, digital, print, gateways, they even helped rally to ensure that as our delegates were arriving, our athletes were arriving through the airport, they were met by the Tartan team, so that everyone felt comfortable and welcomed. Our collaboration with the car rental agencies again enabled and ensured that everyone was able to get here on time and that kind of thing. So our sponsors, we couldn't have been able to pull this off without that. And then, of course, throughout this entire process, it was shocking to us, I think, when we started looking at our projections. While the economic impact is suggesting $1.2 million, we had a tight budget that we were working from. It was just over $250,000 that we thought it was going to take to pull this event off. The actual cash outlay, due to all of our piecemealing of the event and rebuilding it again, probably came in the range of $65,000-$70,000 at the end of the day, cash-wise. We were also the first event in Nova Scotia to actually build in a legacy line. In our budget, we said we wanted to carve off and make $10,700 as a legacy to give back to the curling club, in addition to all of the other elements. Today, we've invited you to come forward, and we've got representation here from John Armstrong, because in fact, we generated so much more, six times more than what we thought. So today, with great success and enthusiasm, we're proud to say that as we close and wrap up our organization and empty our piggy bank, we are now turning over a check in the amount of $61,861 to the Liverpool Curling Club. And I think an amount like that on behalf of the community is deserving of Greg to invite Mayor Clark and John to step forward so that we can make it official with a big check, right? So if we could invite you to come forward.
You know, I think that we were incredibly proud during the event, after all the hard work that Greg and the committee and Donna and everybody on the committee put in, all of the volunteers, the 300 and some people that all pitched in, and to see so many visitors in our community and being impressed by our community, and everybody was proud to have so many guests with us. It was an amazing impact on the region of Queens, the people of Queens. So that is sort of part of the legacy too. You can't put a dollar sign on it, but it's huge. Also, I understand that some people may have moved into South Queens as a result of coming to the juniors, seeing what a nice community it is, and they've retired here and are living here. So there's a lot of intangibles, but also really interesting to see the financial impact on the community, because that's what all Donna challenged us when we were first elected to become the events capital of Nova Scotia. Now you see why, and I think we are well on the road to being the events capital. I'll shut up, but thank you, Donna. Thank you, Greg. Vanessa,
great. John?
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well,
thank you very much. Stay here. I can remember, I don't know how many years ago, Greg Rollins. It was at least 3 years before, so that must have been. We just finished curling a game, and Greg and I went out for a little fresh air. And he looked at me and he goes, he says, well, said, you know, I think I'll bring the juniors here. And I said, okay, that sounds good, Greg, you know. Not really 100% on board what was going to happen. At that time, I think, Greg, you made a mistake because you were off by about $5,000 on the total amount of money that he thought he was going to bring into the community. Because he thought it'd be, he said 60 to 70, which is pretty dead on. We went out a few more times for more fresh air a couple of times, and we kept talking about it, and I said, finally, I said, God darn, I think this is going to work. I think he's going to pull it off. Why don't we do the Masters? Huh? No money in the Masters?
No.
Been there and done that one.
Thank you.
Great. So thank you,
thank
everyone.
You,
thank you for entertaining us today, and thank you for being so supportive. And in fact, absolutely. What else do we want to host next? Let's roll up our sleeves, and we know we can do it. It's just a matter of an idea, but we've got the capacity. So thank you for entertaining us today. Thank you to the public who provided such an amazing support infrastructure for making it possible. To the staff team, Queen's Place, and the Curling Club gang, couldn't have done it without you. Thanks.
Thank you. Turn this right over to the treasurer. They don't trust me with this kind of money.
I would either.
That brings us, thank you very much. That brings us to item 4 on the agenda, the tabling of petitions. Are there any petitions to be tabled today? Hearing none, I'm going to move to item 5 on the agenda, which is the part of our agenda where the public has an opportunity to ask us questions, to make comments, to give us an opinion. Before you speak, I would ask that you give your name and your civic address and be recognized by the chair. So, Mr. Robertson, I see you're on your, you're ready, Brett.
Leon Robertson, College Street in Liverpool. I was, when I turned the radio on this morning and heard the comments, it was at 6 o'clock news, about Fort Mercy, your comments there, that the project that is coming there, and as I understand, will employ up to 40 people on a regular basis for a couple of years or so, and that's certainly good news, we need that. The other comment that I want to make is...
Leon, let me just interrupt you on that, because I think it's huge. I think we're really excited. It'll really start to come together as we move into the spring, but it's really, really interesting, and I think that there may be opportunities for more vessels, hopefully. And the company that is involved, R.J. McKaiser, reputable company. It was the company that did the work on the MV Minor on Scattery Island. And just before this story started to break in November, there was a wrap-up of the work that had been done on the MV Minor, and the media was full of plaudits and compliments of the work that R.J. McKaiser had done there. So I think it's a really exciting thing for the community as a whole, and it's what we have hoped to see happen at Port Mercy. Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, that's fine. And it's something that when you start and things go well, it could be something that could carry on for future years. Perhaps maybe increase the number of employees.
We have some media from Bridgewater here, and I'm sure they could point to 2 or 3 vessels they'd like to get rid of down that way.
I notice them every time I drive down the Lahave River.
They like you to look the other way.
Right. The other item is 8.2 on the agenda. I noticed there are a number of people here, I believe, from the Pine Club this morning, here with respect, I presume, with the local airport at Greenfield. I know the motion that was made at your last meeting, which you brought up today, and also I read the material that was provided by the Pine Club, the president, Mr. Farley, and it sounds as though there's been some negotiations going on or discussions, and from what I read in the comments or proposals, whatever you want to call it, it seems like that there should be a way that we can keep that airport open, and it sounds, what I like about it most is that the bottom line says it will be no cost to the taxpayer, which is myself plus a lot more of us here. And I think the airport could be an economic driver for Queens County and so on. If we have Fort Mercy there, there might be people that want to be coming there with their private planes and so on. And also, you can look at it from a tourism point of view and so on, and development point of view. So I would certainly suggest, Mr. Mayor, that you and your council take a second look at this and see if something can be worked out, because I think it's something that can be important to our area here in Queens County. Because I understand it's the only airstrip between Yarmouth and Halifax that's available, and it's something that should be looked at and perhaps pursued. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Bagley. Mr. Cox, your third. Mr. Bagley.
Thank you, Mayor Clark. David Bagley, I'm at Fond Lane, Liverpool. On December the 23rd, I believe, the expression of interest for purchase or sale of the abandoned Mill Village School was due. I'm wondering perhaps how many responses you had to that.
We had one response.
Okay. The other issue...
and we're still working with that group.
Yeah, understood. That's great. As the region is apparently considering significant renovations to the outside of the Town Hall Arts and Culture Center, could you please advise the condition of the clapboards on that building?
I can.
Go ahead.
They need work, and we're planning to budget for that. We'll need to continue working around the building for the next few years to replace the cladding.
Thank you.
I think you just look at it, David, and there's some areas that are really quite bad, others not quite so bad. So.
Well, hopefully it won't be a huge expenditure, but we'll see once boards start coming off, that's for sure. The other issue I wanted to put out, under 16.1 on the agenda, there's a reference to a community developer to facilitate the terms of reference under a programming framework. Would you advise who presently fills this position in the region?
Heather Cook.
Heather Cook. Thank you. And like other members of the public, I've had the opportunity to review the recent letter sent to Joe Cruikshank by Glenn Parlee. The Flying Club has an interest to promote the Greenfield Airport for economic development, preserve an airport with an estimated replacement value of between $10 to $12 million, all at no cost to taxpayers. Mayor Clark, as we have both negotiated considerably in the past, it appears that a successful agreement is near. I would urge Council to make the right decision to complete a lease with the Flying Club, retain this valuable piece of infrastructure, and market the airport to its full potential. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Cox, your turn.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Bill Cox, 121 Bog Road. First of all, I would like to thank you and Council for supporting the New Year's Levy Trench 38, both monetarily and with your presence at the levy. Our numbers were down this year. We were down approximately 70 people to 182. I think the fact that it was a long weekend and that some people decided to stay home for Christmas and come to Liverpool for New Year's kind of cut down on the numbers, but we are very thankful to the Jonathan Gee, the manager of Sobeys, who gave us discounts on some of the ingredients that went into the chowder, and so we are able to come in very close to our budget that we had for that particular event. And again, we thank you for your participation.
Maybe you should take a page out of Donna Hatt's book and have a legacy line that you could give back to us at the end of the...
Well, the intent was my next comment was the legacy. We received a further legacy on the National Skins Championship. During the few games that I watched, Liverpool, Nova Scotia was mentioned no less than four times on national television, both by the commentators and the some of the people that were involved in the program. And as a result of us bringing that to our community, Mary Faye from Chester has been chosen to participate as a member of the national group that will be in the international competition. And here again, in that publicity, it mentioned that she had participated in the National Junior Championships at New Paul, Nova Scotia. So our legacy is ongoing, even though it's 2 years past. And I have to be somewhere else in about 5 minutes, but I would just like to say that I agree with the previous speakers that I would like council to reconsider and at least enter into more meaningful negotiations in regard to the socio-regional airport. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Is there anybody else who would like to speak? Yes. Mr. Parley.
I'm Parley Milton, Mayor Clark, members of council. I am wearing four different hats here today. I'm a resident of the Region of Queens, business owner of the Region of Queens. I'm a private pilot, and I'm also president of the newly formed Social Flying Club. One thing that has never changed is my belief that the Social Regional Airport is a valuable asset to the Region of Queens. I know that isn't shared by everybody. But just an interesting piece last week out of Yarmouth, the three municipal units in Yarmouth said that their airport infrastructure improvement is their top capital priority. Brief card here. When it comes to the airport, the unit sees it as a project that needs to move ahead because being able to improve and increase utilization of the airport facility is seen as a way to spur economic growth and potentially attract new business and industry. The airport infrastructure is seen as an asset to the region. And that's something that I've been saying for quite a while now. I know our airport is not at the scope of Yarmouth, but it still is a invaluable asset to our community. And we have been in some negotiations, and we'll just sort of summarize. Basically, from the start, we wanted to keep the airport open. The club will operate the airport at no cost to the taxpayer. That was our statement going in. That's what we started with when I did the presentation here over a year ago. How we were going to do that was the income at the airport would offset the expenses. So between us with our membership, our ability to erect hangars and rent those hangars, the income from the races at the airport would all cover the expenses, the current expenses at the airport. It's a pretty simple arrangement. The problem that we are running into is a couple of things. One is terms, 15-year term. We had an issue with a termination clause of 60 days. That has been negotiated for 12 months. So we still have the reduced ability to attract business, but that's a bit of a sales job, but we can live with that. The problem that we have is with our current agreement is that we are responsible for all expenses and maintenance at that facility. So we're responsible for the strip, we're responsible for the apron, we're responsible for everything in terms of maintenance. But the income from the drag racers is the regions. So even though they're using the strip, and I think that it's great that they are, they bring a lot of business into this community, some of that should be set aside for improvements and maintenance on the strip. It's not just a flying strip, it's for everybody. The other issue that I just found out yesterday was insurance, and I did get what the region was paying for insurance. I got that information yesterday. We already have insurance that is in place. But again, as of yesterday, I was told that we have to pay our insurance plus the region's insurance, even though our insurance will cover. So the problem that I have at this point is we still stand by. We would like to operate that airport facility. We don't want it to cost the taxpayers anything. But in terms of negotiations, you've got to have two parties that have a common goal. And if it's the region's goal to shut down the airport at all costs, I can't negotiate with that. So all I'm looking for is to be able to continue. Let's be reasonable. If there's revenue at that facility, that revenue should help at least offset some of the expenses of that facility. The other little tidbit yesterday is we're trying to attract some business to that facility. There's another clause in our contract. Any commercial ventures that we attract to the airport, we turn over to the region. So now, even if we beat the bushes and we attract a business to the airport, we can't use that to offset the expenses of the airport that we are operating for the region. So I will leave it at that. I at this point, I'm not even sure what's on. If it's on today to close the airport in 6 months, if it's on to have future negotiations, I really, at this point, I don't know. I just had to say one last point. That's where we're at. We have not changed from day one as to what we want to do. All right? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Pali. I think it would be inappropriate for us to negotiate in an open council meeting, but what I can say is, I guess, three things. I understand that the discussions between the Region of Queens and your group really boil down to three outstanding items, and those items were outstanding at the first council meeting in December when council voted to delay a decision until this meeting. Those three items were the term or the language around possible closure, removal of hangars that you and I met with, and that seems to be resolved. That needs, the resolution needs to be vetted or reworded to suit lawyers, but the intention that we resolve that, I think, there's a matter of insurance, and that seems to be a resolving. And then there's the issue of the money from the drag races. The Region of Queens has never put that on the table. That has never been part of the region's considerations. However, the matter will come up under 8.2. The procedure is that there's a motion there that was on the agenda at the first meeting in December. That same motion will come forward for discussion at 8.2. Is there anybody else who'd like to speak to council before we get into the agenda under item 5? If not, then I would entertain a motion. I'm on item 6, approval of the minutes from the meeting of December 15th. Councillor Fisk, Councillor Frelick seconding, all in favour. It's unanimous, and we have nothing under dangerous and unsightly premises. Does anybody want to raise anything under dangerous and unsightly premises? If not, then we will move on to item 8. And you have under item 8.1 we have a proposed motion. Deputy Mayor Norman, as Chair of Economic Development, would you like to make that motion?
Yes, I so move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality grants pre-budget approval for the Economic Development Department's participation in the Saltscape East Coast Expo in Halifax, April 22nd, 24th, 2016, at a total cost of approximately $2,300 from the Economic Diversification Budget.
Is there a seconder? Councillor McLeod seconding. Discussion. Jill, Richard, whoever, do you want to comment?
I'll start off just to say this is customary at this time of year that we bring forward this, because it's so early in the new fiscal year that we have to get pre-budget approval and make our bookings soon. It's our only opportunity in the year that we have for face-to-face interactions with the Metro crowd. Atlantic Canadian visitors are our biggest source of visitors, and the show continues to grow from year to year. I guess, you know, it was up over 19% over 2014 last year. We had a wonderful presence there across three booth spaces, because we partnered with industry and events, and everybody agrees that it's a very worthwhile place to go and show what Queens County has to offer and lure people here. This is the same request as 2015. There's no increase in the ask.
Discussion. Councilor McLeod.
Joe, this event's always been well attended and very successful over the last number of years that it's been held. Do you offer participation from local businesses and organizations to spend a little bit of time showcasing themselves at this event?
Yes, in fact, they partnered with us and actually bought their own booth space between them, so we've been able to have an expanded, like, three times width presence with our backdrop and their different... They've brought their own sort of show with them, whether it be a crafter or an experience. Even we've had outdoor experiences and photo opportunities and just fun things to engage the visitors. And that's what Thoughtscapes is all about. It's not just a trade show. It's an experience for anyone who's ever been there. It's really that Thoughtscapes magazine come to life, and it's a really good opportunity to lure people down to this way and show them, you know, that there is stuff going on.
And just the value-added opportunity.
Yeah.
I think also the way that we've structured it for the past couple of years has been that we've, rather than having absolutely everybody join in, which becomes diluted and unfocused, what we've done is we've offered it a space between four or five businesses who can have a direct presence there and present their business directly to people, and it keeps it focused, but it also makes it affordable for those businesses to go along. Otherwise, they might not be able to afford the full booth cost themselves.
Other questions or comments? Do we have any way of tracking the impact it has? Finding out how many people actually come to Queens because of what they've seen at Thoughtscapes?
It's very hard to do. This past summer we did have a visitor survey which did include a question about where visitors at you know, what has stimulated their visit to Liverpool. But other than that, it's very difficult to try.
Councillor Frelick.
What we've seen in the past is the 1 year we had a real big focus on the Seaside Adjunct and Kedgy, and the numbers are way up, and where you don't know that for sure. We kind of take part of the credit for that because, you know, people were in talking and really interacting, and the folk become a little more focused on definite areas seem to really work well. So. It would be great to have those numbers. I don't think we'll ever be able to capture those, but I know if we weren't there, it would be, you'd see a dramatic change.
Yeah.
So.
I think what Councillor Frelick's saying is absolutely true there. Parks Canada looked at their stat counter at Seaside and were doubting the numbers because they, as one person said to me, I don't know where all these people are coming from. And so although we can't directly attribute to the fact that we are promoting or, you know, we have promoted that, I think there is a definite impact.
Councillor Fancy.
When I look at it and I see the single booth for you, the 10 by 10 is $11.95. That, now, that's your booth,
yep.
Right? Now, anybody else who wants to rent a booth, they subdivide booths or
that's effectively the way that we've handled it. If you go directly to Thoughtscapes, they don't want you to do that.
Okay.
But what we've been able to do by just doing it as a cooperative effort, we can get one person to rent another booth and just have an arrangement with it between themselves. So. That's the way that we've done it. That the one booth that we pay for is our presence, and we can choose to do with it, you know, as we wish. But we've also then gone to businesses and events and said, well, how, you know, do you want to present your side of things? Register a booth in your own name, but join it all together. So we've had one, you know, 30 feet of aisle space dedicated to Queens County.
White Point
directly next door as well,
yeah.
So that's in addition to the 30 feet? Or
yeah.
That
was
an
additional
one.
Great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
Anybody else wish to raise anything on this issue? If not, I'm going to take the question. All in favor? It's unanimous. Thank you. That brings us, Dick and then Norman, to item H2 and the recommendation, the motion and the...
Yeah, and to our clerk, on December 8th, April, we had simply referred this to this point in time. So the motion is, it's in order to read this motion at this point in time. I so move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality takes no further action with regard to lease arrangements with the South Shore Flying Club, and further that notice be given that the South Shore Regional Airport will close in 6 months' time.
Is there a seconder for that motion?
We need a seconder, or does it just come back?
Need to be seconded.
Yeah. I'll second it to get it on the floor for discussion.
Yeah. Discussion. Councilor Fisk.
Mayor Clark, I feel that there is room there to negotiate a business plan at the airport with the South Shore Flying Club. And I also feel strongly that we have to watch it very closely in regards to interfering anything to do with the Drag Race Association. I think that's a separate identity and it has to stay that way. So, I still feel strongly there's room there to negotiate, and hopefully we can come to the conclusion that we can deal with both parties and be successful. Thank you, Mayor Clark.
Is there anybody else who'd like to speak on this motion? Councilor Waterman.
So what all entails from closing down an airport? Put up Jersey barriers so people can't land a plane there? Or, I mean, it's fenced off.
Yes, but it would be a process that we'd have to get to let the federal authorities know that it was closed, and it would be posted in the Canada flight guide that pilots refer to before they make plan their trips. So they, and then we'd have to put two white crosses, one big white cross at the end of each end of the runway. And basically, I think that's mainly what it involves. So the runway's still there.
Yeah, the runway's still there.
Yeah.
Anybody else wish to hear? Councilor McLeod, Councilor Frelick.
Jill, Councilor in the Ingrid. Past, how much usage has the airport been for planes? Like, what's the use of it as far as either commercial or personal use?
Well, since Council voted to unman the airport in 2009, we haven't been able to track those figures. We haven't had a presence out there. I don't know if I've got my presentation from October the 28th with me, but certainly there had been a decline in flight aircraft movements over the years.
What constitutes a movement? Like, is that like many planes, or is that touchdown and takeoff? What's the movement?
A movement is a landing, and movement is a takeoff.
One.
Yeah.
Takeoff makes two.
Yeah.
So do you have any idea how many, like, in your estimation of what a movement could have been up to that point?
Not really. I've had a decreasing number of calls from pilots to request, you know, the status of the runway and say they're planning a trip and they want to land. In years, I've tracked it down the years, you know, but when we first unmanned it, there were, you know, sort of maybe like 10 a year, and it's just gradually petered off to virtually nothing. And
that you're aware of?
That's what I'm aware of, and so, yeah, I don't really have any stats of recent nature.
If it's helpful, I understand that Mr. Parlee was quoted or said on Information Morning that there were two planes that were flying out of there. Councillor Frelick, you're the next.
I'm not the least bit worried about what's happened in the past. I think we need to concentrate on the future and what the potential is for planes coming in and out. And when you talk to certainly a lot of people in this room, there's a lot more potential with careful work and a lot of marketing. So that's really what I would like to focus on and how we can come to some conclusion on this. There's been a lot of talk this morning of the the benefits of the legacy fund. So I'm wondering if there's any way that the both parties could look at that, and probably not calling it a legacy fund, but something that could help out with the potential maintenance of it. So I don't know where you are in the negotiations with that, but just wondering if that's an option.
Any money that comes from the region is going to cost the taxpayer or cost us, so we either have to recoup that money out of our budget elsewhere, or it goes on the tax rate. So I guess the staff and members of our airport committee, that's where we've stood on that piece, and you know, that's what we heard from the community, was that they didn't want it. They wanted us to keep the airport open if we possibly could, but they didn't want any cost to them.
In an ideal world, yes, it is. But if you're negotiating, there has to be some give and take, and maybe there is a tax increase because of this. But as it's stated, the value of the airport to replace it or have it close and then try to reopen later on, if things at Port Mercy start to move and we have the need for it, it just seems like it's such a drastic move to close it and never to be able to have it opened again. So.
Who was the next? Councilor Inglis.
Yeah, I just had a couple of points. Of course, whenever there's a negotiation with council and a third party, we give staff a direction and the third party comes in and they make negotiations trying to reach a conclusion. And as is possible in every negotiation, sometimes they reach a stalling point, and that's when you need to bring that back to council, which was done this time. And that sort of is an impetus to get things going again one way or the other. And it did a couple of things when we had that motion, which we chose to table. It brought out some reaction from the flyers who came and gave us their points. And it gave the public a little bit of an opportunity to, you know, to have their say. And I've talked to people, I've read comments. And, you know, I think that's a necessary part of a negotiation sometimes. And then it has to come here where we've got to give some direction. We have to step up today and offer what we think we're going to do. When we talk about things like economic drivers, and that's a buzzword, we love that word, economic driver, I think it's clear that the municipality and municipalities as a whole across the province, when they put the airports in, never mastered using them as economic drivers. That said, I've had the identification of one real possibility here, which is the closing of the Waterville Airport, which does present an opportunity for more flyers are going to go somewhere. So we know that that's a possibility. The other item that, you know, that was right in front of us today, when we think of, you know, municipalities trying to promote an airport. I don't fly an airplane. Richard, do you fly airplanes? You know, we look at the curling, and you had somebody like Greg Thorburn, who is all about curling. He thinks about curling when he's asleep. And Donna Hatt thinks about room nights when she's asleep. So, pardon me, well, no, she probably doesn't sleep. When she plugs in or whatever it is she does to recharge. I'd say that with her here. So, you know, I do think that, you know, so those people love curling. John Armstrong loves curling. Albert Smart loves curling. They want the curling club there in 30 years. So, you know, they created an event that, first off, created some passion about curling. Secondly, left a legacy that will help. So my hope is that we're able to come up with a satisfactory arrangement, and that the people who care if there's flying there in 30 years, you know, can produce results that we couldn't. And I think that, you know, the whole thing about successful government will be to find ways to partner with people who are passionate about the things they're passionate about. It's in Richard's material about in our strategic planning with the town hall. So, you know, my hope is that we're at a hiccup stage and that we can resolve some of those things. The mayor indicates we're
certainly closer on those. And now we have, as a council as a whole, some more information from Mr. Parlee for the club, and hopefully we can get some more municipal stats and figures so that we can provide better advice on negotiating the contract. Thank you.
Councilor Fancy and Deputy Mayor Norman.
Something Bruce mentioned, which I really appreciate, is that is when we talk about, we talked with the curling club here a year or so ago, the curling club looked like it was going to close. You get people who are passionate about it, they come forward and things can happen. It isn't going to be us because we don't fly planes. So we look at something as something there that's deteriorating. What are we going to do with it? And do we continue on with this or not? And I know I've talked with Jill, and you know, there's so many things, regulations and things that are coming through that we know nothing about because we're not plain people. So in order for it to continue, it has to be someone who knows what they're doing to continue. And if we can strike an agreement, that's something that I guess that's what we're looking at. And if we see this possibilities of still striking an agreement, we need somebody in there who can run it and manage it. But agreement has to be in place. To me, it's a matter of we got a motion on here that we want to close down in 6 months. Is that what we want, or are we looking at saying, hey, let's prolong this or whatever? So that's the question for me right at this particular time.
Deputy Mayor Norman.
I feel like I'm between a rock and a hard place, having been on the committee that has negotiating with the Fly Club. And it struck me at the very beginning that this was a huge responsibility that the Fly Club was taking over for the recreational interests. On behalf of the taxpayers and the citizens of Queens, I look at that as a huge risk when it's being operated as an airport, especially an unmanned airport. And the ability of a club to assume all that responsibility of operating an airport is huge. And the inability to reach an agreement is even huger. We've been negotiating for, Jill, a year and a half.
Almost 60 months.
Almost. That negotiation is costing the region as we continue to rewrite and redraft drafts. I've listened to comments such as a lot of marketing. A lot of marketing costs a lot of money. I've listened to comments such as, well, another cent on the tax rate. People in this region cannot afford more money on the tax rate in the hopes of encouraging economic development through an airport. Coincidentally, when Donna Hatt's name was mentioned, I spoke to her. She was the economic director of the region 20-odd years ago, and she said to me then, and mind you, she was green then, she worked for years trying to make that airport feasible. For 16 years, I've sat on council. It's been 16 years of trying to make that airport feasible. It always meets with failure. I've talked to flyers that stay at local establishments, and I say to them, well, where did you fly into? And they say Yarmouth. And I've said to several of them, well, you know, there's an airport, you know, 35 minutes from here. Yes, they're aware of it. Well, why don't you fly there? No gas for their planes, no taxi services. They like the closeness of Yarmouth. Yarmouth was once an international airport. They feel safe flying into Yarmouth, and Yarmouth is only an hour and 15 minutes from here. If you were an airplane pilot, you would look at southwestern Nova Scotia. You would see that former international airport in Yarmouth with all of its services, and that's where you put your plane down. If you're a small flyer in the province, you would be happy flying into Greenfield because you're a recreational flyer. So I know there's going to be a lot of vote in support of the airport. However, as much as I love the airport and I understand the need for recreational flyers to have a place to fly, on behalf of the taxpayers that I represent, I am going to support the motion as it is.
Councilor Fisk.
Just maybe to clear the point, I think this is the flying club is willing to take the airport over with all expenses. I never heard anything. It was going to be nothing against the tax dollar. Where are we getting that?
The unresolved item in the negotiation is the revenues from the drag races, and that goes currently into the regular general revenue. The other expense from the airport to the region of Queens is, of course, a routine basis, the insurance, and there is a huge impact, I'm told, on staff time. It takes time to keep up to date with the regulations, deal with the issues that the governing body, the federal governing body, requires us to keep up to date with.
I also understand that, Mayor Clark, but Mr. Parley is presented this morning that there's no cost to the taxpayers of Queens. I don't know why he would say that without knowing the whole issue. Where would it be our responsibility for the licensing and all the airport licensing if the air club takes it over?
If they take it over, there's no cost. Assuming that the drag racing money is not on the table.
I just want to add one more thing to clear my mind on things. I want the people to know also the Drag Racers Association, the spinoff is great in the community throughout Queens County, the region of Queens, not only Greenfield area, but throughout the county. And also, there's a great spinoff there. So there's money going through that for the first time. When the airport was open before, I will say that there was no great spinoff in the airport for years. It was very costly.
Councilwoman?
I would like to know exactly what the cost is. Insurance. But I can't, there was one phrase, a tax on this, a 1 cent tax. That would be 80 some thousand. Now, we had a main person there that lived there. It was, I think, 50,000. I worked a year round. That might be a little bit of fortune there.
I don't know where the 1 cent came from. It's not
I don't know where. I did hear it here this morning. But to me, just the insurance and the checking to make sure the runway's clear and things, it's not that great. Well, when it comes to capital costs, then I would really question it with trying to get that. But just the place is there, it's fenced, you have to do your administrative work and things. To me, it's no real big deal until you get into capital costs, and then I would certainly probably go against it if there was no big flying club there or anything. But as it stands, I would like to see it.
Councilor Frank?
Joe, can you remind me of us again of the income from the drag racers?
They pay $500 per day to rent the facility plus HST, and if all their races happened, if the weather is kind, that results in $7,500 for five races in the year. And they also rent the region's hangar there, and I think that's about $1,800. I may be wrong on that figure, but somewhere around there.
So as Raymond said, the spinoffs are amazing as well, and it's a good group. But if we had a summer of rain, would we be guaranteed that income? Would they reschedule, we're not guaranteed that amount each summer?
No, we're not guaranteed it. In fact, I understand it's really hard for them to reschedule a race because there's races throughout the Atlantic provinces practically every weekend.
Yeah. So it is a variable number that could change if we had a really bad season.
Yeah.
Councilor English?
Do we currently have a specific cost to the region on insurance at the site?
This year it was $3,915, I believe.
And if we mothballed the airport tomorrow, would we have to maintain some sort of insurance on it?
Yes, we would have to insure it under our general policy.
Right, for liabilities and...
Yeah.
As we insure Pine Grove, for example.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I personally am going to vote in favor of the motion, and I'm going to do that for two or three reasons. First of all, we've heard there are two planes there, and most of the people that I've talked to on the street feel that the airport was something that came out of the past. It was a different day when it was built, a different world at that time, but the world has changed. Secondly, many of the people that I've talked to, run into, or the few people I've run into that use that airport, because there are only a few, most of them are not residents of Queens. That influences my thinking considerably. And then it's recreational flying, primarily. Just as we were addressed by the tennis club in the early days of this administration, and because it was a private sport, we didn't support them. The curling club's another one. And recreational flying is, in my opinion, just that. It's the same as someone playing golf. And I've heard a lot about economic development. I was mayor when Donna Hatt was director of economic development, and I worked with her going through trying to raise the usage there. And all I hear is, from the flyers, this may happen, this could happen, this might happen. I don't hear any, this will happen, this must happen. It's all conjecture and without any substance behind it. So that's certainly influencing me. The other concern I have, and we are down, Mr. Dagley pointed out that been around negotiating tables for a long time, as has he. This has dragged on for 18 months. I mean, if someone said to me, let's take a 20-minute break and we'll do the deal, I would adjourn council for 20 minutes. But you're being asked by Mr. Parlee to let it drag on again. We have no more assurance from what he said 15 minutes ago that we will reach a conclusion than we had when we met early in December and gave another month. So for that reason, I'm going to vote for the motion, because I think it's time to bring the thing to a head and to get it done. And if someone, as I say, says, we'll do a deal in 10 minutes, 20 minutes, we could do that, and we don't even have to have, I'm not holding out for a long legal document that needs to be letter perfect. The principles have to be agreed. We're down to three points. One is the notice to terminate. We've come up with the principle, but not the right words. There's some weasel words in there that need to be translated into legalese. There's the insurance, and that's coming together. It will be what it will be. So it boils down to the money from the drag races. That's the break point. Does anybody else want to speak on this matter? Yes, Councilor Fancy?
This is just being naive. I'm just going to, because I talked to Jill, just tried to find out some kind of cost. If our operating budget for the airport is roughly around $10,000 to $11,000, I mean, you don't know what's going to happen, because you could have anything else that can come along. And our rentals for the drag racing is around $8,500. If we were to, I know this is kind of opening up a door, but if we say, okay, if we were to say that, and they were to take over, and to take the income to make it a wash, what would they see as a difference? I don't know. I'm just asking.
Are you going to answer that, Jill? Sorry.
I'm not really following you, Jack. Sorry.
Okay. Say if the airport shut down,
mm-hmm.
that would be income for us as it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the way we are operating at this particular time, we are operating about a couple thousand dollars in the hole from the money coming in and the money going out, right? From the racers,
right.
Using that as a whole,
right?
We're operating about 2,000 under, right? So
right.
So to speak, plus anything that will come up along with plus your times and all these other things.
Mm-hmm.
Then I guess if they were to take it all on, then what would the and then we would be no money going out.
Right. That was the intention.
I'm just talking. I don't know.
Yeah, that was the intention that they would make us good, that we would not have any costs. Taxpayer would not have any costs.
Deputy Mayor Norman.
And I guess that is part of my point that maybe I didn't make clear enough. If a group of people who want to run the airport need a minimum, like $10,000 isn't a lot of money. You could do a whatever, go online and get $10,000 offline. But this is a group of people who talked about building hangars, renting commercial space, driving economic development for Queens, doing development, whatever. But yet they have to have that $10,000, which isn't a lot of money. So really, if a group is so badly in need of $10,000 that they're going to give up their, you know, then in my view, they're just interested in recreational flying. If you're going to take an airport over so you can drive economic business, build hangars, lease hangars, promote the airport all throughout Atlantic Canada, become the big driver for Queens County, then what's $10,000? Not a lot of money. And it makes me feel that they're simply interested in their recreational pursuits, not business driven. And we cannot keep an airport if it's just going to be for a small group of people for recreational pursuits. It's a huge liability to us as taxpayers. And I'm not talking financial. I'm talking if a group says to us, this is what they're going to do, but it doesn't seem like they can do it, and they're taking over an airport where if Joe Duhu from wherever lands there and they have been doing their due diligence about looking after the runway and keeping it safe and whatever, and there's major, you know, there's an accident there, I don't care how much insurance they get. I don't feel comfortable that that group is capable of doing what they say they're going to do. Drive economic development. Look after that airport in a safe way. You know, it's not a little strip somewhere. It's an airport. You know, you could land the Learjet there if you had to. Do we want to put that type of responsibility in the hands of a group who are quibbling about $10,000? And that's one of my points.
Councilor McLeod.
I've been listening to all the debate and the conversations, and there are a lot of really valid points. But I think the intent is to look at the bottom line and the fact of resources for various organizations and the municipality to come to some kind of agreement for the use of that piece of land out there. And my comment is we're looking at the economic benefits, and that currently I feel that if the airport is closed, then it opens up many more opportunities for economic benefit because that land would not be restricted to a use as an airport or any other purpose. So I feel the drag racers in the past have been utilizing it. They've been wonderful partners. They have thoughts and ideas of what could happen on that land in the future. And I know that if it was open to other types of uses and some organization or group wanted to utilize it for an event or a purpose, then it's available there and you're not restricted because you don't have that airport status there. So I feel that if it was closed, then it would open up many more opportunities for economic growth and use of that property.
Councilor Frohlich, and then that's the last, I think, unless there's... Councilor Frohlich.
I just want to go back to what Councilor Norman said, and talking about the $10,000 that we're quibbling over, and if you look at what we're working on, it says in there, society may receive all revenues derived from the performance of the services. So I'm not sure it's fair to say that they're quibbling over it. It's part of a contract that we're negotiating. So, you know, unless they say that that's crucial to the success of their flying club, it sounds like the wording of the contract is what's in question. And I don't think they're setting out to take anything from the drag racers. In fact, I see they see the benefits of that in both ways, I'm assuming. But again, I think it's the wording of the contract that they're trying to negotiate to a settlement, and I don't think it's fair to say that they're quibbling over it. So.
Okay, I'm going to take the question. I'm going to ask people to vote with their hands, and I'm going to ask staff to do a count for me. All in favor of the motion, and the motion, let's just read the motion again. April, would you read the motion, please?
Moved by Deputy Mayor Norman, seconded by Councilor Inglis, that the Council of the Region of Queens takes no further action with regard to lease arrangements with the South Shore Flying Club.
And further notice, and further that notice be given that the South Shore Regional Airport will close in 6 months.
Sorry.
All in favor of the motion? Contrary minded? The motion is lost by a vote of 5-3.
And what's next on the agenda?
That brings us then to anything under corporate services. Councilor Fisk?
Nothing under corporate services at present time.
Anything under engineering and works?
Not at this time.
The only thing I would comment on, and that is that the work on the trail on the east side of the river is progressing really in from Pine Grove, and I know that there have been discussions, and Richard might be able to brief us, between TIR and the region concerning access across TIR lands to the one at
Yes, we've staffed that with TIR and the appropriate property staff with the province to deal with the appropriate easement or allowance that we can go on there. The paperwork's going through. I believe everything's following its natural course.
So they are comfortable with it?
Yeah. They like the project.
Okay, anything under finance, Councilor Inglis?
No, Jen is not in the room, but we did have a pension update, and we'll be having a meeting on that soon. So.
Recreation, anything, Councilor Frohlich, that you'd like to bring forward?
Not at this time.
That brings us to planning. And we have circulated motions on 13.1 and 13.2. So, Councillor McLeod.
Thank you,